he's reaching for the microphone because he thinks I was just going to give it to him like that and not say anything before I give it over to him. Luis Herrera is the chair of the CCB Technology Committee. He is also president of our East Los Angeles chapter. Oh, there's Vince. And Louis has, I call him now Mr. Alphabet Soup, because he has he's received his master's from Cal State University Northridge, and he is, yes, give him a hand. And so what he needed to do is he needed to get that piece of paper to kind of validate what he already knows as far as it goes with technology. And he's done that, and he's been very successful. So let me go ahead and give the microphone over to Luis Herrera. Give him a great big welcome.
Well, hello world. We are in San Diego. And for those of you that are waiting for the shuttle going to Tijuana, get your green cards ready, otherwise you ain't coming back. All right. Welcome, everybody. And I wanted to say that it's an honor to be your MC, and I look forward to embarrassing everybody equally. You know, you can't have a banquet with a smile. And for those of you that booed earlier, you didn't hurt my feelings yet. Okay? Keep on working on it, because you got a long ways to go. Just remember one thing. Payback can be very bad. I can make faces and point fingers. Oh, shoot. All right. No. Our illustrious ACB president wants me to use a universal sign, but that's not appropriate. So we're not going to use universal symbols. So, okay, I am going to introduce the head table where I'm sitting at, but I see that our head table is broken up into two sections. It's the us versus them mentality. No, we have a great bunch of people here. So I'm going to start from my right, which is my right, actually. No, I'm going to start from my right to my left. So we're going to start with next, on the far right, we have ACB President Mitch Pomerantz. Followed by his lovely wife, ASCCB President Donna Pomerantz. And then it's Pedro de Pacas, man. It's me. So it's me. And then the one that keeps me out of trouble, my wife, Marie Herrera. Then we have Gabe Griffith. And then we have a lady who I haven't heard her much, but until earlier I heard her talking, and I'm like, wow, she's still here. I didn't hear her. And I'm like, what happened to her? But she's here, there, and everywhere, but it's Miss Linda Perel. Yay! And then we have Robert Wendt. And his lovely wife, Aisha. And by the way, Aisha, I am not going to tell you how to use that GPS program. And then it's Charlene Ornelas at the end of the table. On my other table, on the far, far right, we have Kevin Berkery. All right. And Artis Basin. All right. Frank Tucker. All right. Shirley Tucker. And then we have Mr. John Mavis. And Ms. Linda Keeney. Hi, Linda. And that's it. And that's your head tables. See? We're in good company. So you guys better be on your best behavior because, you know, Linda used to be a rehab counselor and she'll withdraw your services. Uh-huh. Now I'm going to turn it back to Donna, and I promise I'll be back to annoy you some more.
Okay. Everyone, if you can bow your heads with me and pray. Father, I thank you for allowing us to come together tonight to fellowship and break bread and enjoy a meal together at our banquet. Lord, thank you for allowing us the time to come together and share convention. We work hard. We play hard. We are the CCB family, Father. Thank you for allowing us to have disagreements, yet still continue to have respect for each other. Lord, we thank you for allowing everyone to have safe travels home. And Father, we ask you to give us the strength to continue to do the work and make the decisions that we need to make within the coming year as a result of the work we started at convention earlier today. In your name we pray. Amen. And everyone, please enjoy your salads.
You guys turned me off. Hang on. Hello. You know, folks. You know, I had the pleasure of listening to Reverend Billy Graham deliver a sermon. And I'm glad to know that when he goes, we're going to put Donna in his place. That was terrible. But no, actually, Donna, that was good. And anyway, you're going to be served your salad. And so enjoy that. I'll let you enjoy your salad. And thank you, ma'am. And just so that you know, I plan to keep you informed. I plan to keep you sane. And I also plan to keep you from, well, let me rephrase that. I will do my best not to let you laugh and spill your drink all over your neighbor when I tell you some of the crazy things that I've gone through in my career. Some of it is interesting. Some of it is factual. Some of it is common sense moronics from the sighted world, but it's fun. So we'll be talking. So enjoy your salads, and we'll be back. I know that you're all eating, but I thought I'd share a little story about what happened to me one time at the company I worked for. I worked for Litton Industries. How many people heard of the Litton Industries? They made microwave ovens. And by the way, they were the first company to put Braille on their microwave ovens. One dot for one, two dots, you know, regular, and three dots, you know, two dots for, you know, your typical Braille cells. Dot one for one, dots one, two for two, dots one, four for three, and so on and so forth. Anyway, one time I was at work, and jokingly, I told the head of maintenance that they had a serious problem because I got lost in the elevator. Mind you, in print, the number one is nothing more than a stupid stick, right? In Braille, the one is just one dot. So keep that in mind. I told the guy that I could go in from the basement to the second floor because the one was upside down. Okay? So I just figured, okay, I tricked him, and he's probably laughing his head off. About 3 weeks later, he stops me very concerned because he's concerned that I'm having problems navigating around the campus. Because the three buildings that have more than one floor have elevators, and he's concerned that I may get lost in those places too. So he calls that U.S. Elevator. And the guy from U.S. Elevator is concerned that if this one's wrong, all their elevators are wrong. And I said, Ed, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm concerned, so I call U.S. Elevator. I said, Ed, think about it. In Braille, one is one dot. How can it be a dot be upside down? And think of it, not just thinking in terms of you sighted people. The one is just a straight line. How can what line be upside down? He says, Louis, if you ever hear a car speeding across a parking lot aiming towards you, you know who's behind the wheel. Now, I work with the best mental giants there. I had a secretary that I had looking for liquid paper for Microsoft Word. Okay? And then the PC Center pissed me off one time, so I wrote a memo to their boss saying that I was not able to do my work because my Braille printer ran out of toner. And the boss was so pissed. I couldn't believe it. They had four people calling every place until they finally called Perkins, and Perkins blew my cover. I thought it was the funniest thing to keep these mental giants busy trying to look for toner for the blind. So, as you can see, I had fun in aerospace. Now, okay, so now that I bored you with some of the things that keep me amused at work, other than the fact that I had a secretary who was the sweetest thing on earth, I loved her to death. Except Candy was just that, sweet as could be and nothing else. So one time I told her that she better be careful because the computer viruses can invade her and have all sorts of problems. A week later, she was out of medical leave because of the computer virus. What I want to know is, who the hell did HR bought it? Why did they let her go on sick leave due to the virus? This, for those of you that can go back, this is called the Barrett's virus, which was back in the early 90s, and it's supposed to be a destructive virus. And when she was complaining about headaches, I said, maybe you got the Barrett's virus. So she went to the doctor. Next thing you know, she's got a note to go on medical leave. So figure that one out. Who's ready for a door prize? Yeah. Well, I'm not. Ha ha. Okay. Anyhow. Here comes Ed. Here comes the judge. Okay, Cindy Aguilar has donated a bottle of wine from the Sacramento chapter. Bridalwood Estate Syrah. It's a good wine. Okay, Ed, if you pull my name, I'll be grateful. Tim Ford. Is there a Tim Ford here? Tim Ford? Going once. Oh, no, he's here. Shame on you. Look, raise your hand. Tim Ford, raise your hand. Is it Tim or Steve? Tim. Tim. Aha, Steve, you lose. No.
Tim Ford is another person.
Tim Ford is another person. Hey, I know this guy. He better be here. Michael Williams, are you here? Michael Williams? Come on, brother. Where are you, brother? Okay. Okay. How about Debbie Kessler? Debbie? No, Debbie Kessler. She missed out on a good bottle of Ripple. Okay, is there a Vita Savali here? Vitas? Right on! Hey, Vitas, I'll teach you how to use the iPhone if you share. Let's do one more. One more, guys. Just one more because I'm a nice guy. And you know what they say, nice guys finish first. I mean last. So is anybody going to take the shuttle I was talking about earlier?
This is a bag of toiletry products.
Ooh. A bag of toiletry products. It's got all sorts of neat stuff for you people that like to be clean and neat.
From
Earthwise. And it's a secret donor. Uh-huh. Is there a Linda Amate here? All right, Linda. Raise your hand, Linda. Raise the other hand now. At this point, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Frank Tucker and John Mavis to talk about the Active Blind Scholarship Benefactors. So I'm sure you guys want to hear me talk, but I have to give you guys a break. So I will turn the microphone over to Frank.
John. Thank you. The four of us have come down here representing the Active Blind. I'm to tell you about the Blind Active Group, and Mr. Tucker will tell you about the scholarships that they're being presented to some of your college students. 60 years ago, I went to a meeting in L.A. It was called the L.A. County Club. And a few years later, a guy named Tony Menino come along and joined the club. He then proceeded to get the L.A. County Club changed to the Active Blind Incorporated. He got it incorporated and nonprofit. And he also then became president of the CCB in the late 60s and incorporated it into a nonprofit organization. So that's where this all winds up. But as of today, Active Blind is no longer a chapter of the ACB or the NFB or anything else. They're just a group that takes care of scholarship funds and so forth. So at this time, I'll turn you over to Mr. Tucker, and he will tell you all about the scholarships. Thank you.
Okay, if you would pardon me while I take a sip of coffee before I begin. First things first. Good evening. It's a real pleasure to represent the Active Blind of Los Angeles. And primarily I'm here to preach to the choir, because all of us know that education is is incredibly important, not only to each of us as an individual, but to our society in general. These scholarships have been given out for many, many years, and we've had the privilege of Active Mind to help support people who have a desire for an education and want to make a significant contribution, not only to themselves, but to their community. One of the things that John Catalano has been discussing with us is the desire that those persons who have the ability, the knowledge, and the experience would come together to form a group which could in some way educate, help in the education of blind persons. Now, this does not have to be on a college or university level, but something which would be beneficial to the blind community. He had hoped that he had put this on his website in the hopes that people would respond and come together, say, to form a little group to teach computers or to teach whatever would be needed by most of the people in the blind community of the blind, and which would benefit not only themselves but other persons as well. So that's why I'm here, to urge those who have the knowledge, the experience, and the desire to reach out to others in some way with the talent that they have and distribute it to other people. So I want to thank you again, and we pray that God will bless this community and each of you. Thank you.
I just want to take this time to thank, on behalf of CCB, Frank Tucker and John Mavis, who come every year to hear about the students that receive funds through the Active Blind Scholarship. And let's once more give a hand to our benefactors.
A mind is a terrible thing to use. I mean, waste. A waste is a terrible thing to mind, too. That's from our illustrious ACB president. Dr. Tucker and John Mavis, you guys do outstanding work, and you ought to be commended for it. Now, I'm going to turn the microphone over to a member of my technology committee who is going to enlighten us about our scholarships. So I will turn the microphone over to Mr. Robert Wendt.
Thank you. I'd like to thank personally Active Blind also. It makes my job and the committee's job much easier when we actually have something to give away. Our first recipient is kind of an unusual individual. This person has kind of lived their life and didn't really come to education until their mid-40s. The name is David Medley.
Shh, people pay attention.
And David is going to college to, pardon me, Douglas is going to college to do game design. Now, one of the things that we've seen recently is many of our students are starting to look alternative ways to go to college, and he's doing this at an online university. It's called Full Sail University in Florida. And I find it kind of interesting because many of the students on the campus where I work, a lot of the programming classes, they're beginning to do them online, because the work primarily is done alone by the students, and it can be graded and or evaluated online. He has his his biggest concern is his ability to provide for his family. That's one of the things that I think touched me is reading what he would like to do is to have the ability to provide for his family.
Can we please have order? If we could please. Thank you.
He's hoping that he will be able to be a or contribute more to his family's financial well-being, and that this education will do that for him. Just a side note or a historical note, Douglas wasn't exactly the best student in high school, and so for him to come to the point where he's going to college, I think is a pretty substantial thing to be acknowledged. Our next recipient is Desma Gentry. We've given Desma a scholarship before, and Desma's, in fact, most of our recipients this year were graduate students. Desma is attending the University of Phoenix, so here's another person using those online courses. And her major is marriage or counseling, marriage and family therapy.
Folks, please extend the courtesy to the speaker, please. Shh. Shh. Don't get me upset. I got a black belt in judo, and I'm not afraid to use it. Okay, bye.
Thank you. anyway, Desma has shown a lot of promise. Her grades have steadily improved, and we're very happy to be able to extend another scholarship to her. This year. Hopefully she'll be done, I think, in a year is what we're looking at. So Desma's on her way. She's beginning her field work, and we're really looking forward to her future progress. Lastly, we have Rodolfo Leyva, and Rodolfo is a really interesting case. Rodolfo was unable to attend our banquet this evening, because Rodolfo is in England. He's currently going to school in London, and he's working on a doctoral degree in political sociology, which I've never heard of before, but doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Rodolfo has received scholarships from us in the past. One of the things I really like about Rodolfo is he talks about the difficulty of his education, but he acknowledges our past scholarships, and he also acknowledges the amount of work that's involved in doing what he's doing. He's currently near the end of his trek. He's in the process of writing his dissertation. All of his coursework is done. So he was actually kind of a slam dunk in terms of giving a scholarship. I mean, he was one of our most ideal candidates. And I think that's it for this evening.
Thank you, Robert. These people are outstanding. I commend them for trying to get an education, because education will only allow them to have an opportunity to be as miserable, as terrible as we are. No, it's wonderful. I think it'll be great. It's wonderful that we can afford to help some of these students, because I know how hard it is. I was a student once. I still remember. And I have nightmares. And I'm still paying my student loan that my wife won't let me forget. So, our next person is... as if... I thought that I was going to be in the spotlight, but this guy has to outdo me again. And as much as I hate to, but I like the guy. He's something else, especially when he's asleep. He's wonderful. But nevertheless, I'm going to turn the microphone to our ACB president, our guest speaker for the night, Mr. Mitch Pomerantz.
Thank you, Louis. And for the folks on the right side of the room who have been so rowdy tonight, you might miss something. You know, when we realized that Kirk Adams, who's now left, was going to be here at the convention, I was absolutely, pleased to get my time Friday night. I told Donna that I could either, I could combine my two presentations, and I can do it in one of two ways. I can either talk at double speed, but more likely I can just speak for an hour. Doesn't that just excite the heck out of you? Now, you've heard me speak a bunch of times, and I don't tend to tell a lot of stories, but Louis has inspired me tonight to tell probably, and it's a true story, it's probably my favorite personal anecdote of all time. How many of you here remember, and he's still with us, a wonderful science fiction author by the name of Harlan Ellison? Well, Harlan and I have had a couple of experiences together, and I'm going to tell them to you. Back in the early to mid-70s, I used to work at KPFK here in Los Angeles, or up in Los Angeles. Forgot where I was. And we would do, every Christmas, a reading of a major classic. And what we would do is we would bring in people from the community, celebrities, people who were well-known. That's how I got to meet Cal Worthington. And he wears that bloody hat inside. But we were doing a reading of the Dostoevsky novel, The Idiot. And one of the readers we'd lined up was Harlan. Now, Harlan had a number of friends at the station, including the fellow who got me to working at KPFK, a chap by the name of Mike Odell. Harlan is scheduled to go into the studio at 10 o'clock to read. And we can't find him. I'm, by the way, the assistant producer for this undertaking. We can't find Harlan. And I am running up and down the halls of the radio station, and it's now 1 minute to 10. And I'm getting desperate. And as I'm trotting down the hall at significantly higher volume than now, I shout, "Where's Harlan?" And from 5 feet in front of me, Mr. Ellison says, "I'm right here." That's part one of the story. Now move ahead a month. If you know who Harlan Ellison is, you may remember a place out in Westwood called the Change of Hobbit Bookstore. I have gone out there because Harlan is doing a reading and a book signing. And I am in the front row, and Harlan concludes his reading. And for those who have heard Harlan, you know that he's a smart ass. No, I think I took after him. At the end of Harlan's reading, he quits and he says, "Hey, you in the audience wearing the dark glasses, what you wearing the shades for?" Well, I've been wearing shades forever and always. So I said, Harlan, I'm blind and I wear shades. And he stops and he says, "No, I know why you wear them. I was talking to the guy behind you." I have fond memories of my encounters with Harlan, one of my favorite authors of all time. Streaming conventions is wonderful. There is a disadvantage, however, at least for folks like myself. The disadvantage is that for those people who are dedicated enough to actually listen to the conventions, the speakers get repetitive. And about a month ago, I was in Springfield, Illinois, at the Illinois Council Convention. So I apologize in advance to those of you out there in Etherland listening to this, because you're probably going to hear some of what you heard me say a month ago, but you'll get over it. I realize that I've graduated to veteran status in this organization, because this convention marks my 40th year in the California Council of the Blind. So it's not an exaggeration to say I've seen it all and done most of it. And I say that because I will term out as ACB president next July, and unlike a lot of our leaders who kind of hang on and hang on and hang on, I am going to take a conscious step back, and I am going to be a little less active nationally, and perhaps a little less active on the state level, but some of that also has to do with what the CCB president asks me to do. But on the national scene, I'm going to be like the citizen politicians back in colonial days who went to Congress and did their time and went back to the family farm. I don't have a farm to go back to, but I'm probably going to take it a little easy. Let me talk for a few minutes about what's going on nationally. Recall that in July, we had the administrator from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The reason that we got the gentleman to come, or we asked him, was that we were fully expecting that NHTSA was going to release the minimum sound standards for hybrid vehicles that was mandated in the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, which was passed in 2011. In fact, the release of that document was supposed to occur the week of the convention. It did not. and the fine gentleman from NHTSA spent about 20 minutes saying essentially nada. Time passes. We hear rumors that these standards were going to come out at the end of September. They did not. We have gotten the word that while they actually have left the environs of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they ended up at the Office of Management and Budget. And even top officials at NHTSA are clueless as to when it's going to get out of some bureaucrat's inbox. So we wait. In the meantime, the folks at Ford and General Motors and Nissan and all of the other major automotive manufacturers here in the United States are working on their own standards. I was involved in some testing a year and a half ago in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I was just contacted by the head of the project for General Motors, who has invited me and the NFB representative to sit in on a teleconference in short order to listen to a report and some findings of theirs. So we will have sound on hybrid vehicles, but I'm not quite sure when that is going to happen. But as soon as we hear, everybody else will hear. The Video Accessibility Act that you also heard talked about this summer, of course, resulted in some guidelines that came out, and we had several representatives on that working group, including Mr. Herrera. And I'd like to say that we got everything we wanted, but that would make me a liar. And we are now waiting for the notice of proposed rulemaking to come out, and there may be actually three of them, separate ones, that will give us the opportunity to weigh in once again to make sure that there is not just appropriate audio description, but verbal notice of the emergency warnings that get scrolled across your television screen, because these people may not believe it, but blind folks do watch television. And, of course, give us the opportunity to have what blind folks in England, we learned this summer, now have access to, accessible set-top boxes with their television sets. You will also recall that our prescription drug labeling bill was passed and signed, and that did occur during the week of the ACB conference and convention. And there is to be a working group established of, using my old personnel experience, subject matter experts. That's folks who theoretically know what we're talking about, to develop best practices for pharmacies and drug manufacturers and such to utilize to make sure that blind and visually impaired folks know exactly what prescription is what and what information sighted folks have that we have the same access to. A lady that some of you may know by the name of Sue Crawford, she's Charlie Crawford's wife, has been assigned from the Department of Justice to the Access Board, and Sue will be heading up this working group. She will be staff. And I am pleased to say that I will be representing ACB on that working group. And CCLVI, our Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, will also have a representative on that working group. We will have accessible prescription drug information, and it may happen a lot faster than we have sound on hybrid cars. Another initiative that we've talked about actually the last two summers is our little issue with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The fact that CMS will pay for prosthetics for people with disabilities, physical disabilities. They'll pay for wheelchairs. They'll pay for a whole host of things to permit folks with physical disabilities to remain independent. They won't pay for anything as small as a monocular for a blind or low vision person to use to remain independent. We're going to change that. It is going to take time, but we have draft legislation, and we will be introducing it the next session of Congress, early in 2013. We believe that we are being discriminated against, and we don't take real well to that sort of treatment. So we are beginning, or will be beginning, the process in January of getting CMS to change their ways. On Wednesday, Donna and I are off to Bangkok, Thailand, to attend the 8th quadrennial meeting of the World Blind Union, of which ACB is a member. There are approximately 160 or 170 countries that are members of the World Blind Union. And we will, WBU will meet from the 10th through really the 18th of November. The meeting is being held jointly with an entity called the International Council for the Education of the Visually Impaired, a SEVI. And it's the first time that the two organizations have had a joint conference. The WBU meeting is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. A SEVI begins Thursday and Friday. There will be workshops and a banquet Friday evening, and in a SEVI we'll have plenary sessions over the weekend, although we're not staying for those. We're heading back home on that Saturday. I am honored to have been asked to make two presentations at that conference. One will be on Sunday, a week from tomorrow, at the Diversity Forum, and then a second presentation as part of a group during one of the ASEVI presentations on Thursday. And as far as I know, it is the first time that anyone from ACB has been asked to make a presentation. The international playing field has for many, many years been dominated by the Federation. I have made a very conscious effort during my time as ACB president to get the folks across the ocean to our east to understand that there are two organizations of blind and visually impaired persons in the USA. And I think they are beginning to realize that. The outgoing president, Marianne Diamond, who actually is from west of us, she's from Australia, and the presumptive next WBU president, Arndt Holt. Hopefully a few of you who were at the convention got a chance to meet Arndt. He was at our national convention. He's from Norway. And I think that the international folks are beginning to recognize that ACB is a player. And I'm also pleased to say that we will again be streaming the entire WBU conference, beginning with the Diversity Forum next Saturday. And Larry Turnbull, if you're listening, I hope you're catching up on your sleep. Larry will be there. And the other member of our, I'm calling it our stream team, will be Brian Charlson. Kim Charlson will be our second delegate. ACB gets two. And in a moment of weakness a couple of months ago, Donna's laughing. In a moment of weakness, Carl Augusto has been the president of the North American Caribbean region, because we're divided up by regions. Carl has been president, and the vice president was a wonderful lady from CNIB named Kathy Moore, who tragically passed away a couple of months back from breast cancer. But it was time. Every 4 years, the officers change. There's a president and a vice president and two members, executive members. And those four individuals, along with the same folks from the other six regions, I think it is, serve on the WBU Executive Committee. So in a moment of weakness, I told Carl that I would run for vice president of the region because the president will be a Canadian. We rotate an interesting chap, an author, a published author by the name of Harold Mossop, M-O-S-S-O-P. He's on the CNIB board, the Canadian National Institute of the Blind. So it looks like I've wangled myself onto the WBU Executive Committee for the next 4 years. I may live to regret that, but I told Donna at least it's a chance to take a vacation somewhere. When I said to Carl Augusto, that'll be great as long as it isn't in the Middle East, Carl said, you know, it may be time for a meeting in the Middle East. And I said, let's see if there's a Middle East in 2 years. Stay tuned. And of course, Melanie Brunson is our representative with the group that's trying to negotiate an international treaty to allow the freer exchange of materials across borders, international borders, for blind and visually impaired persons through the auspices of WIPO, which is the World Intellectual Property Organization. No, I won't. But you can. It's a painfully slow process negotiating international treaties, but apparently significant progress is being made. 2 years ago when this first got started, the representative from the Obama administration, who is a professor and a copyright lawyer, was pretty much dead set against a treaty. He wanted a less binding document. He was concerned on behalf of the publishing industry in the U.S. that there might be serious ramifications if, in fact, we signed an international treaty. The gentleman has kind of come around. So it appears as if we are going to have a treaty or something that looks much like a treaty by this time next year. Next summer, the last convention that I will preside over, we will be in Columbus, Ohio, beginning July 5th and going through the 12th. And the thing that's going to be interesting is that we are moving the convention forward by a day. Our opening session will be Saturday, and our banquet will be Thursday evening. It is creating some interesting logistical challenges, to say the least. But it does appear as if it will work. I have already tendered an invitation to the president of ONCE, Miguel Caballera, because next year will be ONCE's 75th anniversary. And for those who don't know what ONCE is other than 12, 11. Now, well, see, I don't know what the word ONCE means. It's a baker's 11. But ONCE is the Organización Nacional Ciegos de España. That's the blind organization in Spain. And Donna and I, when we were in Madrid in April, spent a great deal of time with the ONCE folks. You opened that bottle of wine, did you?
No, I was just telling them that ONCE, the way you described it, sounds like blind man in Spanish.
I'm a gringo. Get over it. But we have invited Miguel. And we also, I have this real crazy fantasy. You recall the blind Chinese dissident who escaped from China or was exiled. We know how to contact him. I have had Charlie Hodge make some preliminary contacts. And Donna and I will be going to New York in December, and we are going to make an attempt to meet with him. And if that does happen, and I think it will, I'm going to invite him to our convention next summer. So we're going to go out in style, I think. And, we'll see how things develop. But that's at least my plan for the conference and convention next summer. Before I close, I want to make a couple of comments since CCB is my affiliate and where my loyalties have been for the last 40 years. I've been reading over the last year a series of books by a gentleman named Harry Turtledove, who is the world's foremost author of alternate histories. And this particular series, and I'm on the sixth book, The South Won the Civil War. And we are now up to World War II, and the U.S. and the Confederate States are fighting their fourth war, including the Civil War. And I bring it up because it reminds me every time I pick the book up how, when left to our own devices, human beings become very tribal. We are more comfortable with our own kind, whether it be folks of the same ethnicity, the same religion, from the same neighborhood, whatever. And how dangerous that is and can be. When I was first cutting my eye teeth in this organization, the leaders used to rant about localitis. What is localitis? It's the organization's version of the kind of tribalism that I'm talking about. The American Council of the Blind and its 70-plus state and special interest affiliates are indeed separate organizations. But we are all one when it comes to sharing the characteristic, the disability of blindness. And I abhor the notion of localitis. I hear, since the CCB president and I share a home office, I hear a lot of her trials and travails in that capacity. And it troubles me to hear that there appears to be a bit of localitis in this affiliate. My chapter is unique. My chapter, we can only concentrate on our problems. We can only make donations to our causes. We can't participate in state activities. Folks, that is a recipe for our destruction and our demise, and it has got to stop. I really do understand that it is human nature to want to deal with your own and deal with your own community and deal with your own problems. Well, you can fiddle and watch Rome burn if you wish. You know, I see it nationally. You know, I have affiliates that basically care more about their own issues and really don't think they need the American Council of the Blind. And I have said much the same things to them when given the opportunity as I'm saying here. My problems in California with transportation or with in-home support services or with discrimination are not unique. Blind people in every other state of the union are experiencing the same problems. One of our founding fathers, and I'm terrible at remembering who said it, might have been Benjamin Franklin, though, said, "We must all hang together or we will surely hang separately." And as we head into Election Day on Tuesday, I tell you that we are quickly approaching the time when every blind man and woman in this room and in our organization runs the risk of hanging separately if we don't change our ways. We can do it, by the way. We can reunite. We can stop thinking about our own problems in our own communities and pitch in and help the CCB president and the CCB director of governmental affairs and the other leaders who, by the way, represent all parts of the state in solving our problems. We don't really have a choice, folks. You know, the economy has turned around some, but things here in California are looking pretty grim. And there are a couple of propositions on the ballot Tuesday that if they don't pass, and you know which ones they are, mean even less services and less support for people with disabilities than we already have. Let your consciences be your guide. Let me conclude by once again expressing something that I've said for a long time. And all you people there in ACB Radio Land, close your ears for a minute. I go to a lot of conventions. I really do. I still think the CCB convention is the best. I am proud to be a member of this organization. I am proud that you have again chosen to elect my wonderful wife as president. And remember, none of us want to hang separately, so we all need to hang together. Thank you and good night.
Thank you, Mitch. Awesome speech. Excellent. And folks, oh, I have a question. Before I know that Donna several weeks ago had asked me if I was going to relay my hospital story. But before I do that, we would like to acknowledge those of you who may want to make a donation or acknowledge a donation to the CCB from your affiliate or your chapter or individual. So if any of you wish to speak up and be recognized, raise your hand and we'll get you a microphone.
Have one.
We got to get Ed a segue.
Or a bell.
With a little bell. Dean Kamen would love it.
Good evening. This is Steve Fort, delegate of Bayview Chapter CCB. And Bayview Chapter CCB has presented a check for $200 to the CCB Scholarship Fund.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Anybody else? Anybody else wishes to do an ad?
No.
Remember, your donation goes to keep this station on the air. Please call for your donation. That's right. And Donna wants to tell you guys something. So you guys better pay attention because I'm standing right here.
Uh-oh. I want to share with you, and I made the announcement at the general session, but I wish to thank one of our members for donating $100 as one of the cash prizes for the sweepstakes, Mike Keithley. And the reason I hadn't said anything before, but it was because I kept forgetting to ask if I had their permission to mention their name. So I hope you're not upset with me because I do want to mention your name. I'd like to thank Charles Navarrete for donating the $200 Target gift prize as well, the gift card. So I just, you know, want to thank these folks for their donation. I also wish to thank the East Los Angeles chapter
for
donating the iPad for the sweepstakes first prize. I also wish to thank John Ross for getting us the printed sweepstakes tickets as well as the $100 gift card for Walmart. And what I'd like to say is this is a perfect example of why, in my opinion, CCB is the greatest organization. Earlier this year, I decided that I did not want us to have a sweepstakes for the fall because everyone was so busy with Muttstrut. I realized the economy is what it was, and I really felt that I didn't want to go asking our members for yet another thing. So I went to the sweeps, the fundraising committee, and we all talked, and we jointly agreed that we would not have a sweepstakes in the fall. Perfect example of the membership driving the organization, because the East LA chapter came to the fundraising committee and said, we need to do this, and we will get the iPad, and it will be donated. Then John Ross said, well, I'll take care of the tickets and get the Walmart card. Then another person said, well, then, you know, we'll have the $500 Lane Bryant and Catherine's card as another prize. Then another person said, well, I'm going to donate a $200 Target gift card. Then another person said, well, I'm going to, you know, I want to donate $100 because we need a cash prize. So that was a perfect example of all of you telling me, no, we're going to do it. Because this is what we want to do, and we're going to do it. And the fundraising committee supported that initiative. And I just want to share that while we have our struggles, each and every one of you drives the organization. Each and every one of you. So on that note, yes, give yourselves a hand.
Actually, we got an extra door prize. It's a special door prize. How many of you use a cane? Okay, how many of you have a cane that's all beat up? We got a can of Bundo to fix that for you. No, actually, you know what? I have to say that when I went to this East LA chapter board and we decided to do this, I recommended the iPad because I wanted it to be an all-inclusive donation that could be used by partially sighted, totally blind, fully sighted, the quote-unquote normal people. And, well, yeah, we have something for the abnormal, so that'll... So, it's an honor to be able to do that. Our chapter has done quite well. We have fabulous, fabulous members that are willing to step up and be a part and contribute. So, on behalf of them, thank you for letting us do that.
Okay. We have... the raffle, well, I guess at this time I'd like to ask if anyone else has any raffles. Right now, the Blind CCB students has, is it 50-50? What is it? Okay. Is Lena in the room? Lena, if you could share what the prizes were and who you wish to do the drawing.
I would like to do the drawing as my final act as president.
That's her final action as president.
Yes. I've got six more to enter also.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah, if I can get some assistance. I'm leaving the puppy behind for sake of time.
We need, maybe three Eds. And we need to give them all segues.
Okay, wait.
With bells.
Yes, they all go in there.
So what they're doing is they're putting all the tickets together, and yes, the hamster's running around on the wheel, and they're mixing them up really, really well.
Yes, yes.
Uh-oh. That's true.
So our four prizes are a $75 cash prize. Mm-hmm. A necklace homemade donated by Sheila Gunn. A cookbook from artist Bazin. And it's a monocular. And I'm not, honestly, I don't remember who donated that because that was. Oh, from the company that made it. Okay.
Mitch said he needs a monocular.
Yes. Monocular company.
For his seeing eye stick.
So we're going to draw four tickets. And you guys have the Braille one, so look at the numbers.
Ah, everybody have your tickets? All right.
Oh, okay. If they're not here, they're... And the winner is? This is a red ticket. Oh. Okay. Ending in 6630. So 6630. So I hear someone. This will be the $75. 630. Who was it? Mary Lou? No.
So who won that? Frank Welty.
Congratulations. Woo.
So, Frank, are you going to meet us all in hospitality and buy drinks for everybody with that? See, I'm looking out for you, hospitality, too, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the next prize is the necklace.
The necklace.
Yes.
Babe, keep watching those numbers.
I happen to get.
I want the necklace.
Is this the necklace? So it's just 306, right? 306.
Oh, we're getting closer, but that wasn't me. Oh. Who got it?
I hear somebody.
Who won it? Did you say Alan? Helen. Congratulations, Helen.
Helen Carnes, I think he said. Tom's wife. Okay. The next prize will be the cookbook.
Ah, cookbook.
Yes. And see artists about what format you'd like that in. Uh-huh. 335.
Right here.
No.
I'm donating it to my wife.
You know, who let him in here anyway?
Yep, one more.
Artists, are those healthy recipes? Oh.
Oh, good.
Good. And our final item is...
Okay, the final
one. Hey, we have attention. Thank you. Our final item is the monocular. Okay. 495.
Gabe.
Gabe?
Gabe won.
Gabe.
So, Gabe, do you want to trade?
What do you think about my cookie?
Yes.
I didn't say it.
Don't worry, it's not existing.
Gabe won. He can give it to me. We'll trade.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Gabe. Just say yes.
Oh.
You and Becky don't need it. I do.
Yeah, that's all. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of convention.
So, are there any other raffles or drawings? Okay, I'm hearing a yes. GDUC. I know. So, Gabe, where's my monocular?
50 tickets, and they are, let's see, we have $66 to split up. So the winner's going to get $33.
More money to spend in hospitality.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Little bag.
She's shaking them up in her bag.
Okay, this is
Whoever
the last
gets
three
it
numbers are
present.
658. 658.
658. 658.
Oh, you got a winner over there. They're not yours.
Oh, we might have someone. I'm
six,
not
five,
sure.
658. Yeah.
Mary Lou ran over somewhere to read somebody's numbers. Uh-oh. Who got it?
Yeah.
Who won?
Linda O'Neill, I think. Is that Linda?
Who won?
O'Neill.
Linda O'Neill.
So, you have money to give her now?
Yes, I do.
Okay. She's got money to give her.
All right. Linda O'Neill won that. So, we all have a new friend in hospitality. Frank Welty and Linda O'Neill. Woo! Oh, all right, congratulations. Okay, folks. Now, for this next sweepstakes drawing, you're going to have competition from out of state, too. There were a number of us who... Oh, they're counting money over there on the left. Ooh. We have a number of people who from California who went to the ACB convention, and everybody was selling sweepstakes tickets over there. In fact, I had somebody on the leadership list when I put out the first announcement for our program, our streaming convention. I had somebody on the leadership list say, well, my convention was canceled because of the storms. So when I win one of those prizes, you can call me up right at home. Okay, so Ed, have you shake? Who's calling for the floor? Anthony Signorello. All right. Anthony has tickets and money. So, although... Ed has got the binder. He's ready. Mary Lou's bringing the money and tickets. Don't Ed and Mary Lou make an awesome team? What would we do without them? And I'm not going to give, you know, one of those door prizes or anything like that because Ed and Mary Lou are both busy, so. And they're counting. So what I'm going to do is, because they're counting. Oh, they're ready to go. Wow, they're fast. So we're mixing them all up. Mix. Oh. Gee, who should we have draw? Why don't we have Frank Tucker? All righty, so we are going to draw for the Walmart gift card. $100 Walmart gift card. Ah. And Frank Tucker, one of our active blind guests, drew the winning ticket. And the winner is Yvette Richardson. Who knows her? Oh, Vince? No. Is she part of your family? Vince, is she part of your family? Oh, she's a co-worker. All right. Okay, so the reason I said that, well, you know why I said that. When we have our fundraiser for the San Gabriel Valley chapter, you know, Vince goes wild. He's selling tickets. He brings his whole family there. Man, they take over the place. And they win all the prizes. That's right. He says we bought all the tickets so we get all the prizes. Okay. So the next prize that we're drawing for is the one. Thank you, Finance and Budget Chair over there. Hey, he's great. It's the $100 cash prize. Sarah Triano. Sarah Triano. All right. So Roger knows Sarah Triano. She is the executive director of the Silicon Valley ILC. So this is cool. People know the people who are being, and they're everywhere. Yeah. Okay, why don't we have Charlene Ornelas draw the next sweepstakes ticket, who is, there she is. There she is, Charlene Ornelas. Charlene is our, both chapters here in San Diego. Ask Charlene if she would be the liaison to the convention committee. So give Charlene a great big hand. And haven't both chapters just done such a great job with hospitality and making us feel welcome? Thank you, San Diego chapters. Okay, so we are drawing for, let's see, we did the Walmart card, we did the $100 cash. So we are now doing the $200 Target gift card. And the winner is David Hoffman. Is he here? Okay. David's not here, but is he another Silicon Valley chapter member? All right. Okay. Wow, that's Silicon Valley. You know, you guys already have all the money. I'm sorry? Wow, Roger. Thank you. Our VP went out there and hustled, sold 51 tickets, I think is what I heard. Is that what I heard? Oh, good, Roger. Yes. He had tickets at National, too. Okay. So the next prize that we're drawing for, let's see what I've got here, will be the $500 Lane Bryant gift card or a card to be used at Catherine's. It could be used at either one. Why don't we have, did I miss something? No? Yeah. Okay. Why don't we have Shirley Tucker draw? Okay, this is for the $500 Lane Bryant gift card. Or Catherine's. A lot of people at National wanted that. Peggy Garrett. Oh, I know her.
You sold that one, didn't you?
I sold that ticket to her. All right. Now, everybody remembers Michael and Peggy Garrett were here at our convention. Yeah. This is great. Oh, wow. I sold that ticket. I cornered them in the room, and I said, you'll buy from me. That's great.
She can bring some clothes when she comes to New York.
Yeah, she can go shopping and bring some. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll have to go shopping with her. Now, we have the iPad. And Louis has encouraged me that he would like Marie Herrera to draw that ticket. Ooh. And of course, Louis says, come on, boss lady. Come on. Drum roll. Oh, he's threatening her. He says, you want to go home tomorrow, huh? Oh. She's moving him around. Oh, let's see who she drew. Here's for the iPad. Who did she draw?
Odell Hollins.
Oh my gosh.
That's
from National.
Yeah.
The Hollins family.
Oh,
oh my goodness.
The crazy Hollins folks.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know which one Odell is. Is he one of the brothers?
I didn't hear. There are a lot of people out there crying. Wow. Well, I wanna thank each and every one of you for supporting the sweepstakes, supporting the students and GDUC and everything that we've done here at this convention. I also want to remind you, otherwise my second vice president going to let me have it, we are moving our clocks. Please remember, we are moving them an hour back. Fall back so you get an hour more. Thank you very, very much, and we will see you tomorrow at the business meeting. Enjoy, and go visit hospitality.